Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in the global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is the blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, United Sovereigns in a United State of Cosmic Love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for the show on Cosmic Love for Saturday, March 14th. And today I've got several interesting articles that I have referenced with links at the bottom of the Cosmic Love webpage. If you can open another window while you're listening to this, or Otherwise, check out that the webpage I have with my hosting at Cosmic Love. You'll see several articles, recent articles. What I'm going to be talking mostly about today is understanding 2012. And there's several other articles there on global crisis and the conscious movement. And there's a white paper on Web 3.0 for people that are interested in the computer internet revolution and two other articles. Mostly today I'm going to be talking about this article, Understanding 2012. The last two speakers I've had, the last two programs, each of them have written two books on 2012. I've been immersing myself in that subject recently. And today I'm going to be talking about this article, Understanding 2012, The Transformation of Consciousness, and the shift in energies on the planet in general. At the top of that article, there's a brief introduction referencing the article, the first article. There's several, actually, articles on that article in general called Understanding 2012. But the article we'll be going into largely is by Carlos Barrios. He's one of the foremost experts on the Mayan calendar systems. The article by Carlos was really predicated with a lot of research that he did. He did an investigation of the different Mayan calendar systems, and there's quite a few different ones that are systems within systems, time cycles within cycles. And he studied with many different Mayan teachers. His brother, Gerardo, interviewed nearly 600 traditional Mayan elders to widen their scope of knowledge. Carlos was born in a Spanish family in the highlands of Guatemala, and it was the dwelling place of the Maya Mama tribe. And with other Mayan and indigenous tradition keepers, the Mam tribe carried part of the old ways on Turtle Island in North America. And they are keepers of time. Now, this understanding of what this means, the keepers of time, and the understanding, their understanding of these amazing calendar systems are ancient, they're elegant, very sophisticated, and very relevant. So this Mr. Barrios is a historian, an anthropologist, an investigator. I'm discussing his information. Some of you may have some background on the some other interesting information on this Mayan calendar system. There's a very good link on the top of this article on what's going on from a scientific perspective with the 2012 galactic alignment of the solar system on the 2012 timeline. There's two links at the top of that article regarding understanding 2012. And I think you'll find those really interesting from a scientific perspective, the astrophysics of what is actually going when people talk about the alignment of our solar system and the galactic plane, and the energetics of Earth's solar system as it enters this galactic alignment, what that means, the graphics that depict it, how that works, how it's affecting the energetics of our solar system, and, of course, the energetics of Earth. And there's been a lot of information I've given on the subject the last two shows or two speakers, including William Henry, that are speaking at the Quantum Shift Conference this weekend, actually, in California. And I may be doing a debriefing on that in the next show for information, some of the highlights that came out of that, different speakers, authors on this 2012 subject are there. And it's a lot of information is coming out on this right now. Well, two of the best article links I've seen are the ones regarding the science are on this article, Understanding 2012, that you can click on at the bottom of the Cosmic Love webpage on BBS Radio. And one of the best articles I've seen from the culture of of the Mayans themselves. And one of those, Carlos Berrios, who has really immersed himself in that culture and looked at it from the perspective of many of these indigenous timekeepers, these tradition keepers of what the Mayan calendar really means, I think you'll find really interesting. So, years ago, along with his brother Gerardo, Carlos initiated an investigation of these calendar systems. Like I said, he studied with a lot of the 600 traditional Mayan elders, or at least his brother did, and he codified this information with an understanding that it's very balanced. But it's balanced from a perspective that of indigenous cultures referencing something that indigenous cultures understand in a nonlinear way, and Western minds have problems understanding a lot of this concept of converging cycles that are vast and sophisticated. I mean, we have a very simplified calendar system, and the Maya actually have and understand 17 different calendars, some of them charting time accurately over a span of more than 10 million years. And these are cycles that somehow, going within or otherwise, whether out-of-body experiences or however they did it, they're very extremely accurate. And they're cycles that deal with not just our solar system, but our galaxy and the cycles of the entire Milky Way galaxy. In huge cycles, not just the 26,000 year cycle of our solar system through the galaxy, but the galaxy itself cycles around the great central sun. And those 10 million year cycles and these larger cycles are referenced in their understanding of calendar systems. So they devised ages ago, these systems, and they're based on the cycle of the Pleiades, which is still held as sacred. And with the indigenous calendars, native people have kept track of these important turning points in history. One of the links, which is one of the turning points that I provided at the top of that article, is the previous big shift of 2950 BC. And what that was like, what happened now back at the time of the flood of Atlantis, and what was the cycle, what was the energetics and the shifting of energies going on the planet at that time. And I think that provides a little bit of background context of some of these cycles have profound implications. So, I'm gonna go into, this perspective of the Mayan thing a little bit today, and their perspective on what's really going on with this, from their perspective, like I said, of these converging cycles. And this may sound a little bit of obtuse. You can read it for yourself and meditate on it. Again, they have an understanding that's been very practical for them. The Mayan were known to do so attuned to cycles that when children were born into their culture, one of the first things they did, there would be a consult with the timekeepers regarding the charts of the children that were born, and consulting the parents regarding portents for the life of that child. And with a profound understanding of these cycles, they would give counsel regarding what kind of career, what kind of would be ideal for that incarnating soul's evolution. And that's a level of sophistication we don't have today. Most people would consider that kind of weird. But at the same time, if you understand cycles, and I worked with astrology and numerous advanced astrology workshops, and it's an amazing thing when you speak that language, understand that language, and tune into an individual that you get to know, and then see their chart and see the correspondences And I've done a lot of wedding astrology. I've done a lot of other different types of astrology, and have seen over many years that there's a profound depth to it. But again, this is an understanding that is foreign to Western civilization. But it's very interesting to hear how the Mayan calendar system works and how they have how it has evolved. So they have of course, their own language in explaining these cycles. And there was a day in the year, one reed, and they have their name, C. Akathol. And if you get into people that have worked with the Mayan calendar, they have their names for these cycles. But this is in reference to an important time back when an important ancestor was prophesied to return, coming like a butterfly. And in the Western calendar, the one read date correlates to Easter Sunday, April 21st, 1519, which was the day that Hernando Cortes and his fleet of 11 Spanish galleons arrived from the east at what is today called Veracruz, Mexico. So when the Spanish ships came toward the shore, the native people were waiting and watching to see how it would go. They were actually expecting something to happen with their calendar system, and sure enough, it did. So the billowing sails of the ships did indeed remind the scouts of butterflies skimming the ocean surface. And again, that was the prophecy of the return of this important ancestor coming like a butterfly. And it was in this manner that a new era was obviously initiated, an era they had anticipated through their calendars. The Maya termed that new era the nine balumticas, or nine hells of 52 years each. They actually understood that it was going to be hell of some kind. And as the time cycles unfolded, land and freedom were taken from the native peoples. Disease and disrespect dominated. What began with the arrival of Cortes lasted until April 16th, 1987, which their calendar system had stated with their cycles, those nine hells of 52 years each, would go through this period. And it was a date many people recall as harmonic convergence, April 16th, 1987. Millions of people took advantage of the date to make ceremony in sacred places, praying for a smooth transition to a new era, the world of the fifth sun, as it's referred to by the Aztecs, sunstone, or the Mayan calendar. From that 1987 date until now, this Mr. Berrios says, we have been in a time when the right arm of the materialistic world is disappearing, slowly but inexorably. We are at the cusp of the era when peace begins and people live in harmony with Mother Earth. We are no longer in the world of the fourth sun, but we are not yet in the world of the fifth sun. This is the time in between the time of transition. Some people call it the time of transformation. As we pass through this transition, there is a colossal global convergence of environmental destruction, social chaos, war, and ongoing earth changes. All this, Mr. Berrios says, was foreseen by the simple spiral mathematics of the Mayan calendars. And it will change, Mr. Barrios observes. Everything will change, he says. He says the Mayan daykeepers view the December 21st, 2012 date as a rebirth, the start of the world of the fifth sun. It will be the start of a new era resulting from and signified by the solar meridian crossing the galactic equator, and the Earth aligning itself with the center of the galaxy. Now, this is Mr. Barrios speaking, Carlos Barrios. But the article I've linked at the top of this is a different article which gets it specifically into the science of this, what he's referring to, of the solar meridian crossing the galactic equator and what that means. There's graphics in that link. And there's a simple yet profound, the best explanation I've seen of this understanding of what this means. He says that at sunrise on December 21st, 2012, for the first time in 26,000 years, the sun rises to conjunct the intersection of the Milky Way and the plane of the ecliptic. Now, these are foreign terms that astronomers, astrophysicists understand, but again, it's explained simply with graphics. You can get a good grasp of what they're talking about, and this is, it's been difficult for me to get my mind around it, but this article on 2000 understanding 2012 and the link that's at the top of that article before the section with Carlos Berrios that I'm going through now gives a good understanding of that. So Carlos is saying in his article at that link that everything will, it will change. And there's an energetic thing going on that will affect our solar system big time, you might say. Now, those who listened to the show last week with William Henry, he had a very interesting take on this, and there's a link in this article on Understanding 2012 about what he refers to as the Stargate 2012 and what's going on with stargates on the planet, and specifically as for the understanding, as Carlos Berrios says, that of how cosmic energy will flow through different channels through the Earth, cleansing it and all that dwells upon it, raising all to a higher level of vibration. Now, what that means and the implications of it is something Carlos Berrios goes into. He said the change is accelerating now, and it will continue to accelerate through 2012. If the people of the Earth can get to this 2012 date in good shape without having destroyed too much of the Earth, he says that we will rise to a new, higher level. But to get there, we must transform enormously powerful forces that seek to block the way. And this is a really interesting component of this shifting of energies on the Earth and the corresponding transformation of consciousness in the process. So he gives a picture of the road ahead. Carlos Berrios gives us understanding of the Mayan tradition and the calendars and offers a picture of where we are and what may lie on the road ahead. The date specified in the calendar winter solstice in the year 2012 does not mark the end of the world, he says. Many outside people are writing about the Mayan calendar to sensationalize this date, but they just don't know, he says. They really don't understand it. The ones who do know are the indigenous elders who are entrusted with keeping the tradition. Humanity will continue, he contends, but in a different way. Material structures will change. We're obviously seeing that now. And from this, we will have the opportunity to be more human. Now, you can read some of these statements by Carlos Berrios like this from several different levels. But I like to understand what's going on from a cosmic perspective, obviously cosmic love perspective, and that's something I'll be going into with another article following a reference to this one. So Carlos goes on to say, we are living in the most important era of the Mayan calendars and prophecies. All the prophecies of the world, all the traditions are converging now. He says there's no time for games. The spiritual ideal of this era is action. Many powerful souls are reincarnated in this area with a lot of power. He says this is true on both sides, the light and the dark. So that's important to understand, that as things accelerate and as the veil thins and as these energies intensify, it is stimulating both sides, the light and the dark. One of the scriptures in Revelations regarding this time is that people will be awakening to both eternal contempt and eternal salvation. And that's an interesting concept, because the people of the dark side will wake up to, you might say, their karmic return of their, you know, of the darkness, to the point where they'll wish the mountains would fall upon them, so to speak. And those who have pure intention to focus their attention on evolutionary ascension will realize that in spades. So it really comes down to, you know, being at the right place with your consciousness, so that the evolution of consciousness, the opportunity of the hour, is accelerated evolution of consciousness and soul evolution. So I'm going to take a little drink here. So Carlos is saying that high magic is at work here on both sides, and things will change, but it's up to the people how difficult or easy it is for the changes to come about. The economy now is a fiction, he says. In the first 5 years stretch of transition from August 1987 to August 1992 was the beginning of the destruction of the material world. It was about that time, 1992, that we saw the early developments of the computer internet, the internet revolution. It was about 1994 that it really started picking up. And you might say there was a thing with the spiritual world, or the non-material world, a world of consciousness and information and otherworldliness that is now, we understand, with the instant everywhere interactive internet, has virtually eliminated time and space. And that concept, taken to its, you know, nonlinear extent, shows how we're all connected. We are all one already, and this is a spiritual concept, the linking of the light and the connection of all people of light on the planet are coming to a conscious awareness of themselves as one, as brothers and sisters, the family of man, etc. So Carlos goes on to say, we have progressed 10 years deeper into the transition phase by now, and many of the so-called sources of financial stability are in fact hollow. The banks are weak. This is a delicate moment for them. They could crash globally if we don't pay attention. And if the banks crash, then we'll be forced to rely on the land and our skills. Monetary systems will be in chaos, he says, and we must then rely on our direct relationship with the earth for our food and shelter. He goes on to say that the North and South Poles are both breaking up. Now, I've been reading about this for years, how the magnetic field strength of the poles has dropped dramatically and is fluctuating erratically. And that there have been already magnetic pole shifts that have occurred on two other planets in our solar system, as well as on the sun. And he is again referencing what many people are saying about 2012, many books on the subject, that there will be a magnetic pole shift. And many people are saying that there will be a shift after the magnetic pole shift within a short time. Some people say within a year there will be a physical shift of the poles. And he says the level of the water in the oceans is going to rise, but at the same time land in the ocean, especially near Cuba, is also going to rise. In different places on the earth, land will rise, and the places rise, land will sink. So Carlos is making a call for what he calls fusion, and it's an interesting concept. Of how he explains it. And as he met with audiences in Santa Fe, he told a story about the most recent Mayan New Year ceremonies in Guatemala, and he said that one respected elder who lives all year in a solitary mountain cave journeyed to Chichicastenango to speak with the people at the ceremony. The elder delivered a simple and direct message. He called for the human beings to come together in support of life and light. Now, this is what is being referred to by many people in the New Age movement. Many light workers are calling this the conscious movement, and there's links on that article and several links on the Cosmic Love webpage regarding this conscious movement. Carla says, right now each person in group is going his or her own way. The Elder of the Mountain said that there is hope if the people of the light can come together and unite in some way. And this is what people in the conscious movement are referring to as linking the light. Reflecting on this, Mr. Barrios explained, we live in a world of polarity, day and night, man and woman, positive and negative. Light and darkness need each other. They are a balance. Just now, the dark side is very strong and very clear about what they want. They have their vision and their priorities clearly held, and also their hierarchy. They are working in many ways so that we will be unable to connect with the spiral fifth world in 2012. In other words, the status quo systems in so many of our social, political, and economic institutions no longer serve the purpose for which they were created. They're serving their own purpose to maintain the status quo. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in economic institutions when there's the bailout of the banks, by the banks, and for the banksters, I refer to them. And we're also seeing that in a medical industrial complex that makes a virtual killing by indirectly causing disease with foodless, chemical-laced food that makes you sick, and then drugs for whatever ails you. And I could go on, you know, what Carlos refers to as this highly organized, these highly organized forces that are working in ways so that there will not be a revolution, you might say, in higher consciousness. What they don't factor in is that much of this revolution, you might call it, is going on in the inner. It's going on in our DNA. It's in the DNA, they now know. They used to think that 90% of the DNA was junk DNA, but they now know that that 90% is actually a transceiver. It receives energy, and it's like a tuning fork with harmonic resonance with the whole cellular hierarchy of the body and consciousness itself. And some people are more attuned and utilize more of that DNA. Some people have more strands of their DNA, like the indigo children, and some people don't. But this is going on, whether we know it or like it or not, through 2012. And it's impacting both the light side, you might say, and the dark side. You might say that the dark side and the light side are the downside and the upside, respectively, of the currency of consciousness. There's a lot of metaphors on that, how we appreciate the light because of the darkness, and if it wasn't for the light, if it wasn't for the darkness, the density of this octave of incarnation would take the light for granted. And you might say this is the test of best for consciousness, and this is why souls incarnate into this octave, is because of the opportunity to have a growth and experience, and there's something to work against when we're only in the light. In the higher octaves before we incarnate, you take the light for granted. And supposedly, according to cosmic law, there's 7 times the growth opportunity in this physical dimension because of the dynamics of this light and dark combination. And the currency of consciousness is for each soul is unique, and each soul is basically dealing with this issue of more light, assimilating more light as they would food as consciousness. And the soul evolution is the involving of the language of light, of consciousness, for the evolution of consciousness. And this is, of course, the primal metaphor of light workers is to basically involve and evolve their light body for soul evolution. So as more light of a cosmic love nature floods the earth, and And I'm referring to cosmic love in terms of the Aquarian dispensation and the Aquarian energies that we're entering in fully into 2012 in this sector of the galaxy and the energies of Aquarius. And there's links that reference this galactic shift into this quadrant of the universe known as Aquarius and the implications of that for the energetics of a more spiritual nature, neutralizing the more materialistic nature of man. So as this happens and as this light of a cosmic love nature floods the earth, the downside is depressing, whereas the upside is enlightening. People that are attached to materialism and identify their lives in material terms, it will be depressing for them, whereas the upside will be enlightening for those who are more, you might say, representing the other side of the coin. The coin of the realm, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. It's an interesting metaphor here, but the light side of the coin is fully conscious with the full spectrum nature of bright white light. You know, if you get into the language of light, you know, the full spectrum of white light is, you might say, the fully enlightened, fully present, fully conscious light side of the coin. And the dark side, you might say, has full spectrum disorder of a dim bulb nature. And again, each to their own. We're all on the path of, at least all light bearers, light workers, love makers are into how to basically evolve with more light, love, just as Carlos Barrios was saying. When he said, and he's calling for human beings to come together in support of life and light, or at least that elder that delivered that message after he came out of solitary in a mountain cave. This was his message, and of course, this is obviously the keynote message at this time. So, on the light side, it's interesting. Carlos references how everyone thinks they are the most important, that in their own understanding or their group's understanding, they have the keys. I think what he's saying here is that there's a level of spiritual pride as well as intellectual pride in different groups and organizations. And I would reference that terms in terms of organized religion, a lot of organized religions that really believes that their beliefs are the key to salvation, whereas have always been those who are not into organized religion, but are more so have an intuitive spirituality. But the trap for all of us is to get into spiritual or intellectual pride, which I call BS as a belief system. So, he's saying, Carlos is saying there's a diversity of cultures and opinions. So there is a, so to speak, a competition and a diffusion and no single focus. And what he's saying is needed is fusion. There needs to be a linking of the light. And this is interesting when you think about the internet and how you have decentralized, grassroots, netroots, grassroots worldwide, different social networks with an individualism, and that people identify with their tribe, their group, their network, in this new global village net reality. And at the same time, Carlos, as he sees it, the dark side works to block fusion through denial and materialism. And you can see this in centralized, top-down, command and control hierarchies of money power whose intent is to enforce their agenda on humanity. And, you know, you can have the central banks, that are basically using the economic resources of the public to bail themselves out and to basically consolidate their command and control hierarchies. So it's interesting. What he was referencing has been coming true. And it also, this process, he said, regarding the dark side that works to block fusion through denial of materialism also works to destroy those who are working with the light to get the earth to a higher level. Obviously, light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, so to speak. And the darkness would just as well, you know, when I say the darkness, you know, the dark side, the powers that be, one of their greatest fears is that there will be a revolution in higher consciousness, which they know is coming, and they're going to lose power. And they know, and, you know, it's at the same time, they're going to do what they've always done, as long as they can, even though things are shifting and the change dynamics are inexorable. So, basically, Carlos is saying that these dark side energies, like the energy of the old declining fourth world of materialism, they identify with money and money power as, you know, basically all that's real, and their love of power, their love of money power, is what runs them, and they do not want it to change. They do not want fusion. They want to stay at this level, maintain the status quo, and are afraid of the next level. The dark power of the declining fourth world cannot be destroyed or overpowered. It's too strong and clear for that, he says. And that is the wrong strategy. He says the dark can only be transformed when confronted with simplicity and open-heartedness. Now, that's an interesting statement. It's the same within ourselves as it is within our social networks and our social consciousness. Simplicity and open-heartedness. This is what leads to fusion, a key concept for the world of the fifth sun. So there's this fusion process going on that Carlos refers to. And this fusion process, many people understand as an integration process, the transformation through integration with the language of light, the language of consciousness, and an integration with basically the law of love. Mr. Barrio says that the emerging era of the fifth sun will call attention to a much overlooked element. And this is really interesting. He says that whereas the four traditional elements of earth, air, fire, and water have dominated various epochs in the past, he says there will be a fifth element to reckon with in the time of the fifth sun. And he calls this ether. Now, the dictionary defines ether as the rarefied element of the heavens. But ether is a medium. It permeates all space and transmits waves of energy in a wide range of frequencies, from cell phones to human auras. What Carlos Barrios is referring to is quantum reality and hyperdimensional physics. Scientists refer to this of this ether as a medium for hyperdimensional physics, whereby, like I said, there is no time or space, and it the quantum laws of these physics are the basically the laws and the language of connection in an ethereal way. So what is ethereal is related to regions beyond Earth, the heavens. In other words, the connection through our DNA, through the energetics of, you know, quantum reality, this ether is the element of the fifth sun, which is the fire element that is celestial and lacking in material substance, but is no less real than wood, stone, or flesh, he says. And within the context of ether, there can be a fusion of the polarities. In other words, he says, no more darkness or light in the people, but an uplifted fusion. Now, that's an interesting concept. It's like transcending the polarity of dark and light and an etheric uplifted fusion, and is referring to a new consciousness. And this is referred to a lot in different ways by people that write about the 2012 zero point phenomena and what happens as we approach zero point in 2012 with this aligning process. So right now, the realm of darkness is not interested in this. You're not going to read about this in the mainstream media. They organized to block awareness of it, consciousness of it, the process of it, what it looks like, feels like, how to do it in your own life, etc. They seek to imbalance the earth and its environment, so we will be unready for the alignment of 2012, and we need to work together for peace and balance with the other side. He says that we need to take care of the earth that feeds and shelters us. So he's referring to the harmonizing and healing of our institutions and our consciousness and the planetary life support systems that sustain us. He says that we need to put our entire mind and heart into pursuing unity and fusion now to confront the other side and preserve life, to be ready for this moment in history. Mr. Barrios told his audience in Santa Fe that we are at a critical moment of world history. We are disturbed, he said, and we can't play anymore. Our planet can be renewed or ravaged. Now is the time to awaken and take action. Everyone is needed. We are not here for no reason. Everyone who is here now has an important purpose. This is hard but a special time. We have the opportunity for growth, and we must be ready for this moment in history. Mr. Barrios offered a number of suggestions to help people walk in balance through the years ahead. He says the prophesied changes are going to happen, but our attitude and actions determine how harsh or mild they are. We need to act to make changes and to elect people to represent us who understand and will take political action to respect the earth. Meditation and spiritual practice are good, but also action. It's important to be clear about who you are and also about your relation to the earth. Develop yourself according to your own tradition and the call of your own heart, but remember to respect differences and strive for unity. Eat wisely. A lot of food is corrupt in either subtle or gross ways. Pay attention to what you are taking into your body. Learn to preserve food and to conserve energy. Learn some good breathing techniques so you have mastery of your breath. Be clear. Follow a tradition with great roots. It's not important what tradition so much. Your heart will tell you, but it must have great roots. We live in a world of energy. This is the quantum reality, and an important task at this time is to learn to sense or see the energy of everyone and everything, people, plants, and animals. This becomes increasingly important as we draw close to the world of the fifth sun, for it is associated with the element ether, the realm where energy lives and weaves the fabric of life. Go to the sacred places of the earth, pray for peace, and have respect for the earth, which gives our food, clothing, and shelter. We need to reactivate the energy of these sacred places, and that is our work. And I would add to that, especially the sacred place between our ears. He goes into some simple prayer techniques that he recommends, emphasizing that we have work to do. And I would add that as we approach zero point, a 2012 timeline in the etheric energy of the fifth sun weaves the fabric of space-time consciousness with a revelation in higher consciousness. The galactic shift of energies will resonate as the conscious movement into a new age, and this is what's going on from the inside out. According to Mr. Barrios, this is a really crucial moment for humanity and for the earth. And he says, if you have incarnated into this era, you have spiritual work to do balancing the planet. So the elders have opened the doors so other races could come to the Mayan world to receive the tradition or otherwise learn to understand these cycles. They know, he said, that the destiny of the Mayan world is related to the destiny of the whole world. And the Mayan calendar is a brilliant way to understand these cycles within cycles and how they're converging. The greatest wisdom is in simplicity, he says, love, respect, tolerance, sharing, gratitude, forgiveness, It's not complex or elaborate. The real knowledge is free. It's encoded in your DNA. All you need is within you. Great teachers have said that from the beginning. Find your heart and you will find your way. Now, there's several other important articles that are on that link, Understanding 2012, at the bottom of the Cosmic Love page. And there's some two articles, one by Drundello Melchizedek on Beyond 2012, another a book review of his book, Serpent of Light, Beyond 2012, that I think you'll find interesting. There's some other articles there that key into what's going on. And there's another YouTube video by William Henry with a link there. So I think you'll find that interesting. One other article, there's several articles there at the bottom of the page. There's for those who are more into the computer internet revolution and how that is basically shaping our net reality and the family of man in a global village. There's a white paper on the future of collaborative networks, Web 3.0, and the education community. And that goes into an understanding of how the computer internet revolution is reflexing, you might say, with the energies of the energy shift at this time through 2012, and that the evolution of the computer internet environment is weaving the light, linking the light, and connecting conscience in a way that can be directed with the frequency of holy compassion as well as the mind of God in terms of geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D, and this understanding of divine order, sacred geometry, sacred community, and sacred conscience, which James Madison, chief architect of the Constitution, said regarding consciences, the most so that conscience is the most sacred of all property. So this is the articles that some of you might find interesting. I'm Myo Seth. Are you there? We got a kind of a meditation here at the end of the program here, and I thought I would give some little orientation to what's going on with Cosmic Love at this time with these articles and with the overview that I give on the Cosmic Love webpage until I hear the music come in here. I'm just going to go ahead referencing some highlights of this article, this white paper. That is referred to. There we go. I'll let you look at it yourself.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of cosmic love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man in our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.